and welcome to the Trash Tapes Podcast as part of the Enigmatic Productions Network. If you love bad cinema and incredible deep dives into cult film, then you have come to the right place. So if you like what you hear and want to support us, you can do so by donating some funds to our Buy Me a Coffee website, along with the Acast supporter feature. All of these can be found in the description below. And now, on with the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right, it's just a lot to get through. I'm just trying to get all this across. I'm trying to also remember most parts of the movie as well.
Boobs and guns, mate.
Boobs and guns. That's all it is, isn't it?
It's boobs and guns, boobs, guns, explosives, boobs, guns, nudity, more boobs, guns, explosion.
Leather,
explosion, ending, wet. Okay.
Boys, stop watching that trash.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. Starring Johann Chappal as the Inflictor of Pain and Edward Harvey as the Victim. From Studio Enigmatic comes The Trash Tapes.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Trash Tapes, where one man's trash is another man's treasure. I am Johann Chappal, and the Inflictor of Pain, and I'm here with my victim, as per usual, Edward Harvey. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So, we've got a little bit of a special one this week. This time round, I've gone through the depths of the 90s again, and I really, really want to do this movie for quite some time, and it is a classic to me. Because it stars the Pamela Anderson.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that is, we're going to delve into her acting career to a point, although not much, and look at her first major leading role in a movie, Barbed Wire.
Music!
See a badge? Don't call me babe.
It all went downhill from there, didn't it?
It pretty much did from Barbed Wire. So,
mind you, she's still a star now, but she's not a star for acting. She's just a star because she's Pamela Anderson.
She's Pamela Anderson now. Yeah. It's weird how Pam has now become just sort of this icon, but it's just because she's just her.
Yeah.
No longer, you know, she did Baywatch and she also did Barbed Wire, but that's about it. Because all the other stuff we don't remember her for.
No.
Although VIP was a show she was on. Remember VIP?
Vaguely. I don't think I watched much of it.
Yeah, she was basically it's just her, who's a bit of a valley girl, who starts up at a detective agency.
I just remember her from Baywatch. Everyone does.
Everyone does.
No.
It's all just slow motion and just bouncing boobs. Okay. It's true. That's literally what this movie feels like, and that's what this movie is about to a point. It's Pamela Anderson trying to break out to being a lead star.
Yeah.
Because she has been in movies before, but they're always like, you know, bit parts or whatever. And she's basically known for TV. So it was her trying to leap forward and say, I can do Hollywood too. I'm more than just a pair of boobs.
Yeah, she's trying this whole, like, strong, tough female protagonist, isn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, but she's also so full of boobs, though.
I know.
It's so hard to get beyond the idea that this movie is more than just tits and butt. It literally is. It's all of it is just about Pamela Anderson being naked half the time.
I think I mentioned it in the commentary, but it's like in the 90s, it was okay to have a strong female character as long as they're sexualized.
Very sexualized. This whole movie is sexualized to the point that it's not that it's uncomfortable, because, you know, some people think, oh, it's uncomfortable. This is almost to the point of laughable, right? Because nothing feels uncomfortable about this world they've created, world in air quotes, like at all. It's perfectly fine to walk around topless in this movie or to be wearing leather and just having and showing tits and ass all the time. There's no problem with it. Because it's all over the place, it just makes me laugh.
I mean, if it wasn't quite that much, it'd be offensive.
Yes. But let's actually talk about Barbed Wire. Let's go right into it. So, Barbed Wire is a 1996 American sci-fi action film based on Dark Horse Comics, right? Of the same name. So there is a comic series called Barbed Wire that came out just before. It's the movie stars Pamela Anderson as a titular role, along with quite a few other people, including people like Udo Kier, who plays Curly in this movie. His name is Curly.
He's like a sidekick character, isn't he?
He is. He's basically the one who co-runs the bar, right? And also a few other people as well, like John Noseworthy, who is Jack Noseworthy, who plays Charlie, so he's blind Charlie. Mm. And Jack Noseworthy is someone who I've recognised before, and he's in a lot of 90s stuff, but we don't remember where.
Yeah, so have you researched like, the stuff he's been in? Like,
yes, yeah, okay, so I'm having a look at him at the minute. He's been in quite a bit of stuff. Like, primarily he's primarily famous for being in that Bon Jovi music video.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. He is that guy. He's the long with a long-haired guy and everything else. But then he's been in other things, but they're all sort of, like, B-movie stuff. Hmm. So he was in a movie called Dead at 21. He also was in the Brady Bunch movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was, yeah. He's also been... He was in Event Horizon. He's been in the Outer Limits TV series. He was in a scene of Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines, but that didn't really happen much. all right. He's also been in things like Pretty Ugly Things, Surrogates. He's been in these kind of movies. So he's been in films.
Yeah.
But he's always like bit part and B movies.
So one of those guys that you recognise and it's familiar, you can't quite pinpoint what he's been in.
So yeah, there's quite a few people in this movie, right? And you see recognisable faces you see throughout the movie.
Like the police guy. Is he the chief or is he the detective?
Yeah, I recognise him,
but I can't quite figure out what he's been in.
Yeah, he's been in... Yeah, I know he's been in a few other things. You know, also Clint Howard's in it as well. So, you know, he's playing Schmidt. Mm. You know, so he's in quite a few stuff as well. And it's loads of characters you recognise from 90s stuff.
Right.
So the movie itself was critically panned from the get-go to the point it was nominated for several Golden Raspberry Awards.
Awesome.
Several, all in one shot.
Do you think it gets to the point where you're kind of proud in a way for getting those awards? Like?
This is the thing. It was nominated. It didn't win.
Oh.
Which, firstly, for me, I think is even more offensive.
Yeah.
Because if you don't win a Golden Raspberry Award, do you know what it lost? It lost to a similar movie around this time. It lost to Striptease.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, two busty female lead roles kind of thing, and Pamela Anderson doesn't win.
No.
That's quite bad, really, isn't it? It didn't terribly in the box office. At the point, the budget was $9 million. It only recovered about $3.5 million.
And that's just people going for Pamela Anderson, kind of like...
Yes.
Yeah, just check out Pamela Anderson. But that will only last so long. You need to have a good movie as well, like...
Yeah. It also clashed with quite a few big movies around the time. So I think it just kind of fell under the ether. Like, it was launched at a bad time. Everything was a bad time. And, yeah. Although it did surprisingly well in Japan.
Right.
Okay. So it It actually got quite a few millions in just Japan alone. I don't know why.
What, is that box office or, like, video?
Box office.
Yeah.
So a lot more people went to see Pamela Anderson in Japan than it did in the United States. The writer of the comic had a sort of a role in the... had a role in it. But then, obviously, this is another example of the studio just butting heads a little bit and saying, we know what's best. This is what we're going to do with her.
Yeah.
Right? And one of the biggest things is they wanted more nudity.
Right.
Right? So it explains quite a few sequences in the movie, right? Like this sort of how things are just overly sexualized just for the sake of it.
Mm.
Right? Pamela Anderson actually blames the studios for its failure because it's tried to push this R rating with the nudity.
Yeah.
She basically said Pamela Anderson actually blamed the studios for making the movie Bond by forcing the inclusion of more nude scenes.
It does feel forced, doesn't it? I mean, it's funny that it's like it's forced when we were watching it and we're finding it funny that it's like a random flash here and there.
Yeah.
But in terms of making a good movie, it can't be forced, can it? It needs to be like feel right.
It needs to feel natural,
yeah.
Natural to be nude.
Mm.
But it doesn't here. She claims that because of the R rating, it means a lot of her teenage fans couldn't go to see the movie. Which is true.
Yeah.
But you know, the teenage fans would just be horny 14-year-old boys.
Yeah. Who would manage, like I did, manage to see it anyway.
Oh, yeah, on video.
But not, that's probably, they wouldn't have been able to go and see it at the cinema, probably, because we wouldn't get in. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably just, that crowd just kind of got the video later, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
Thing is, knowing this, an R rating was never like a killer in the 90s. In fact, sometimes it pushed it, right?
Yeah.
But imagine barbed wire being a PG-13. It feels like you're missing a trick there and also doing something weird, because why did you hire Pamela Anderson in the first place?
Mm.
Because Pamela Anderson is all about sex appeal. And if you can't have sex appeal, so I get why the studio did it, but it did feel very forced.
Yeah.
Right? Which also includes the reason for the opening sequence.
Steel Harbor, 2017! The Second American Civil War.
The old democracy is overthrown by a tyrannical new group called the Congressional Directorate.
Right.
Every city in the nation is under martial law, except one, Steel Harbor, the last free city.
Last free city.
A secluded island of shrinking independence, it is a place marked by chaos and crime, providing a home for a new kind of mercenary.
Yeah! This is what you don't expect this from a Pamela Anderson movie.
No, she was really going for it.
I do not want to be Tits McGee. I want to be proper hardcore. Yeah!
Thing is, in the 90s, you could have, like, female heroes, but as long as they were, like, sexualized.
Oh, my God, she's nothing but tits and ass. Oh, look at it, she's wet as well!
This is a rock cover of Word Up.
Yeah, it is. It's before Korn did it, didn't it? Didn't know just what to do. Oh my god. Look at her. She just. This is literally us sneaking into like her Playboy shoot, isn't it? This is what this is. Look at it. Oh my god. Boobs.
This is just a music video, this title sequence. A sexy music video.
It's just a sexy music video just so we can see her tits. Look at her tits. This is literally what this thing is telling you. Look, we got Pamela Anderson. Hey, we got boobies.
Didn't Pamela Anderson later get a boob reduction?
Yeah,
so
she
they were
did.
Back to like kind of normal. Like,
she did. She did when she got older, because she actually was feeding top heavy.
Yeah.
You know, in the 90s, big boobs were amazing. Now when you got a little older, you're thinking, oh shit, I have to sleep. My back hurts. What? Now she's on a swing. I love it. Oh.
The opening scene itself, the movie pretty much starts, first of all, with a crawl saying about this backstory, which we'll get to in a minute. But right afterwards, the title credits, the opening credits, bam, it's literally a wet striptease.
Yeah. Like a music, like an MTV-style music video that's, like, explicit, you know.
Very explicit.
Yeah.
And that is probably the most sexualized Barb is in the movie, right? Because she's literally doing a striptease in a sort of a leather dress outfit with her boobs popping out. You see nipple, like, instantly.
Yeah, lots of boobage.
Being covered in water and champagne, splashing around, being, like, seductive. And it's weird, right? But there's a reason for it, why that scene actually exists. So, the opening wet strip, in which Barb dances in a strip club with her breasts hanging out in a rubber dress while being sprayed with water and champagne.
Yeah?
Yeah. Was actually suggested by her in the first place.
Okay.
All right. This is, I'm not joking. After she was inspired by a nightmare she had in which she was sprayed with champagne while performing a nasty dance. Right. David Hogan, who was the director of this movie, who was under pressure to include more nudity, liked the idea and then threw out the movie's original they had, which was actually far more plot driven than it was this bit.
Right.
So, but that is both amazing because it was Pamela Anderson's idea for it, but also very exploitative because this is a girl's nightmare we're having here. This is a nightmare about someone being like, you know, forced to dance for me. And then it's like perfect, let's put it in the movie. Yeah. Sexy.
Yeah, do you know what the comic book looked like in terms of the style of it?
It looked very much like a 90s comic.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about Rob Liefeld kind of, you know, big weird proportions, big busts, tiny feet, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? But she started off looking more like Sonya Blade from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
With the battle fatigues and so on. Because remember this, Barb Wire, she was formerly in a war. Right? So she's a war girl. She's a mercenary.
Yeah.
She only later on became looking more like the Pamela Anderson character.
Mm.
And then they hired Pamela Anderson to be in the movie. And then this happened. And then, this is the sad thing, the original comic ended its run after the film's failure.
Well, it would do.
So the movie killed an entire comic franchise.
Yeah.
In fact, it killed a lot of possibilities. They really were running with trying to make this a huge success, right? Barb Wire actually was in line to have a video game as well.
Awesome.
Right? It was going to come out for the PlayStation, Sega Saturn, PC and Macintosh in 1997, right?
Mm.
It was developed by Cryo Interactive, and the gameplay was going to be similar to Tomb Raider and Resident Evil, with a single-player campaign and a two-player deathmatch mode. But it was never released.
Well, it wouldn't make money, would it?
No, because the movie bombed and tanked that badly. They said, we're going to save our losses, even though we spent so much money trying to make this movie game, right? Just going to cancel it. I am just more interested in what a barbed wire video game would be like.
Mm.
And whether it would be like boob physics. You know?
Like Dead or Alive, where the best animation is just in the boobs. Like, everything else is like a bit shit, but the boobs animation is perfect.
Just proper bouncing. Or would this be around the time when we have triangular boobs? So it would have been the whole... It would just be like Lara Croft with the triangular boobs from the first Tomb Raider.
Yeah, probably, actually.
But yeah, just interesting how they put so much into this, thinking it's going to be a huge success. Nowhere near.
It's kind of sad, really.
It is kind of sad it didn't do that well. Because overall, I mean, the movie's a great watch, but it derailed quite a few people. Which is a shame, really. But where else would you possibly go with this movie? This is the thing that's baffling.
Mm.
This movie screams almost a joke. Like, it's ridiculous. How would you make a Pamela Anderson movie about being in the post-apocalyptic universe during the Second American Civil War while she's also a stripper and also the runner of a bar that's also a radio station that's also a ground for a seedy underbelly? How... could you make that anything else other than silly?
I don't know. And I know it sounds harsh, but in order to make Bob Wyatt a better movie, I don't think you can't cast Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a funny bad movie now to reflect back on.
Mm.
But in terms of it at the time, if you wanted to make a successful movie, you needed someone else to play Barb Wire. Because it's like, you know, the flashbacks where she's a soldier.
Yes.
How out of place does she look, like, as a soldier?
She looks so pretty.
Yeah.
In this soldier flashback sequence.
She's still in full makeup as a soldier.
She is. She is. And looking fabulous while doing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really bizarre, because the whole point of her character, she's a mercenary, so there's a lot more war flashbacks, which would have helped fill out her character a bit more, admittedly, but she seems so out of place.
Yeah.
So out of place in the sequence where she's like, we gotta wait for the guy! We gotta wait for him! We gotta wait for Axel! And it's like, no, he ain't coming back! No! Come back! Helicopters flying, explosions!
I mean, it kind of... It sort of looks like... like a porno soldier girl. you know, like sort of really sort of out of place, but like a glammed up girl they've just put an army uniform on. You know?
It basically is like softcore porn.
Yeah.
It's basically a softcore porno version of itself. Mm. And that is so weird to say that.
I'll be there. I promise.
Oh no. So, now.
Are you Barbara Kopensky? Yes!
Oh my god, Pamela's showing emotion! She's showing emotion! It's so rad!
You guys gotta get out of here! Go, go, go! That's it! Come on, let's go! Come on, get in!
Oh no! The second American Civil War happened, and she was in it, and everything's gone to shit.
She's like going.
Can I just say, at least it's a different expression than what she has before.
You cheated me out of $1 million, Smith. I should blow your head off.
To break down the plot, right, I'm going to have the DVD. I'll read the back.
Okay.
Call her dangerous. Call her deadly. Call her a mercenary. Just don't call her babe, which we'll get to in a minute. Pamela Anderson is barbed wire, the sexiest, toughest woman in Steel Harbor, a city marked by chaos and crime, providing a home for a new kind of mercenary. Okay? If you've got a problem, barbed wire is the solution. She'll use any dangerous weapon, including her body. Yeah. To make what she wants, crossing the line for no man until one day Axel Hood hits town. Right? So that's a mercenary buddy. Yeah. Okay? He's on a mission, and Barb is the only one who can get him out of town alive. Will Barb help the man who once betrayed her? There's only one thing that can be sure. She can get anything she wants for a price. Are you ready to pay? What a bunch of baloney.
It kind of is that synopsis seems like it's written by the Sun newspaper.
Yes! It's all sleaze. Yeah. All sleaze. And I kind of love it. But this is the interesting thing, and it's kind of the reason why I haven't got into the plot entirely yet. It's because, and it strikes a humongously similar output to the 1942 movie Casablanca.
Yeah, which is a polar opposite, really, in terms of, you know, the style of it.
Yeah, completely. It's basically the movie Casablanca. Mm. Now, if you've ever seen Casablanca, you've seen barbed wire, right? But if you haven't seen Casablanca and you go into it, we're going to go through the plot bit by bit, and you're going to notice maybe the ones who've seen Casablanca will notice weird little changes. Like the fact it's based in the mystical year of 2017.
Yeah, because the movie opens with a traditional, like, post-apocalyptic kind of movie where you get, like, a voiceover and, like, the text scrolling.
Yes,
and,
I
like,
love
all
that.
Those movies, like, a lot of the like, schlocky ones and stuff started like that, didn't they?
Yeah, they always did. And I loved it. Just adds more fun because basically they do that because they need to explain the world.
Yeah.
They don't have the time. So all we know...
Exposition dump intro.
So you've got this post-apocalyptic universe... Right, with cyberpunks, film noir detectives, Mad Max goons, and all the stuff just slammed together.
Sardos.
I can never get rid of
Sean. He's creeping in, isn't he?
I just slammed. Right, so it's all combined together. Everyone's trying to find a safe haven, and it's a safe haven... is Canada, according to this universe. So everyone wants to escape to Canada.
Yeah, because they're always like wanting Canadian dollars, aren't they? All
because that's where the real money exists.
Yeah.
Come on, honey! Get it all off!
Oh, for God's sake.
Make me stand up for Queen and Country.
For Queen and Country, eh?
Come on, honey. Come on, all of it. Yeah, there you go. All of it. Come on. And rest.
Nice.
I think when this...
Come on, babe.
Oh!
One more person calls me babe.
Oh, it's in his face.
It was actually embedded in his face.
That's hard. That hurts.
But then this is where we get introduced to what her role is in general, because she's a mercenary.
Yeah.
You know, a hitman for hire, you know, that kind of thing. And she's doing... So she's playing a stripper, and she uses it to get her targets, basically, yeah. Right? Which explains the whole, I'm dancing in a leather rubber suit. And then we're first introduced to basically one of the best lines in the movie, as we all know, is when you do not call her babe.
Because you get a stiletto in your face.
Yeah! That was awesome! Because the guy is saying, oh, come on, babe, show me some more of yourself, babe. Stiletto, she takes the shoe and puts a stiletto right in his forehead. And that is awesome.
And what's funny is the crowd kind of go, yeah,
yeah. Like, they love her. Like, they're bloodthirsty as well as be horny bastards.
Yeah.
And so stiletto's thrown and dragged away. And then we're taken to the back where she's with the other stripper girls. And this is now Pam as her most Pam. Right? This is where we properly see Pam and her acting range. And we thought, like, oh, she's doing fine. She's doing a couple of quippy one-liners here. But this is where we start creeping in a few little things that we've noticed. It's like, some of the criticism of the movie is that even though the movie has energy, Pamela doesn't.
No.
Pamela Anderson has absolutely no energy. She's monotone throughout the entire movie.
That's when we were watching it, that's kind of what we were commenting on, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
The delivery of her lines, it's just not quite there.
It's like, even when it's like she needs like something with more urgency,
yeah.
It's like saying, shit, you know? Like, I love that.
Like, it does create, like, a kind of comedy.
It creates a new kind of comedy, actually.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, she's consistent for most of the movie as being... flat, like totally flat,
and her voice is always like soft like that. I mean, the sound guy had no danger of her peaking at any point because he's always like, "Yeah, I'm Pam Randerson,
so sexy. I'm so sexy, but also sound a little bit annoyed."
Yeah.
Oh God, where are the lenses? Oh goodness gracious! Oh man, I love it, fucking love it. It's ace,
and that's kind of why I find someone like Steven Seagal funny.
Yes.
Because he's like that. All the lines are on one level, aren't they? Like,
I am a badass. I am Steven Seagal. This is how I deliver all my lines. Prepare to die.
I'm going to take you to the bank. The blood bank.
Yes. Yes. Any one-liners are literally like without any like nuance or without any drama.
What are you doing here?
Looking for a light. Got one.
I love it.
She looks like impaling stuff in foreheads.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. You know what? Good on her.
Who are you? I'm the one getting you out of here.
Wait, this way.
Shit, come on.
A bit more enthusiasm, love. Oh, shit.
Go.
What is the problem with Pamela Anderson? Like, she's just on one note, isn't she, all the time?
She sounds like a bit... she sounds just like a little bit fed up. But she's supposed to be like, this is... I know what she's trying to do. She's supposed to be, like, cool and hot and something like that, but, you know.
Yeah, but that's all right for, like, some of the time.
But not all the time.
You've got to, like, show emotion.
I know,
like,
right?
To a degree. Like, at least if you're going to...
What are you doing? Ever see Batman?
You know, if you're going to, like, deliver, like, one-liners and stuff...
Yeah.
You need to have a bit of, like, pizzazz. Not just all be, like, monotone and stuff.
It's true, but at the same time, though... when you're Pamela Anderson and you say lines like, you ever see Batman and you pull a fucking grappling hook?
Ever see Batman?
Ever see Batman?
It's like all soft and sensual like that.
Ever see Batman? I love it. But the thing is, even when she's like trying to tell someone to shut up, she's like, shut up, my God. I kind of love it.
This is based on a comic, isn't it?
Yeah, by Dark Horse.
Yeah. I'd imagine like the comic being very like witty and funny and stuff, and like it would imagine they would want someone to be able to like have that kind of pizzazz with the dialogue and stuff.
We don't know. I haven't seen the comic. The comic could literally be just as sleazy as this.
Mm.
It's the 90s, you know.
I'm afraid there's been a slight problem.
Oh.
I could only come up with half the money.
Half the money? Fine.
Half the money. Wasn't her trying to be snarky with a British accent?
That's what I mean. She's never like goes fully into it.
Half
she only
the money.
Did a slight impression.
But to be honest, that made me laugh. I'm kind of loving that she's all one note.
Mr. Cash, not a bad night's work.
Yeah.
It was the middle of the Second American Civil War.
Oh.
The world had gone to hell. The year was 2017, the worst year of my life.
Oh, really? Well, in 2017, honey, Donald Trump's president, so this might be the reason why the apocalypse happened.
Definitely.
So, Pam, now Pam's found her target, right? She's trying to find this woman, like her, like who's in a schoolgirl outfit. So clearly she's supposed to be like this teenage girl. Right. Who's been kidnapped by this sleazy club owner. Literally, this is where the action sequence kicks in, because she's in the kitchen somewhere, and the sleazy guy goes and says, like, where are you? I thought you were supposed to meet in my boudoir. And it's like, I'm just needing a light. And just pulls out a cigarette and shoots a tranquilizer dart in his face.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
In the forehead again, like the...
Like slow guy. She has a thing for foreheads. Mm. Like, she has a thing for foreheads. And finds that the... the girl who's hiding in a fridge somewhere. And then this is the chase sequence happens. She's being chased by all the goons in the strip joint. And she does a couple of kicks here. She does a couple of hidey-hoos and stuff like that. Oh, then leads to one of my favourite bits, with the grappling hook. Because she gets a grappling hook, doesn't she? And it's like, where'd you get that from? And then she goes and says, like, ever seen Batman?
No, it's like, some of the times you're thinking that line could be hilarious, but it's just not.
The way she said it. But in fact, for me, the way she said it like that made me laugh.
Yeah.
So she gets a grappling hook out of fucking nowhere, because a big grappling hook, and she launches it, slides down, and then she gets chased around, that kind of thing, puts him in the back of a car, motorcycle, drives off, drops off to the parents, right? And then, but again, they're doing this exchange in the rain. She's soaking wet in the rain in this leather rubber dress.
She always seems like she's been rained on at any point, because her hair is like that. She's got that like sort of beach kind of greasy kind of dirty hair look all the way through the movie, hasn't
she? Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
And the hair is actually inconsistent. There's a horrible inconsistency where her hair is constantly like big, small, wet, all over the shot. But no one cares, because you're not really paying attention to her hair, are you?
It's hard to not take your eyes off the boobs
when she's constantly flashing them.
Yeah.
So she gets the car, half the money, and drives off, right? Mm. And then we see her, like, in what seems to be a glamour shot, like, over the desert, you know, looking out and saying, it's 2017, and it's the worst year of my life.
Dear diary.
Dear diary. 2017 is already starting off in the worst possible way. Oh. So she runs something called the Hammerhead, which is a nightclub at Steel Harbor, which is also multiple things. It's also a radio studio, which I'm not sure if it's the DJ, but it's not the DJ.
I think it's just like, I don't know whether he's doing a radio show. I think he's just kind of, he's like a radio DJ, but he's just the club DJ.
That's so weird. Why would you have a radio station in your club to be the DJ in your club? Because he'll be saying like loads of like, you know, the power of the resistance is here, man. and like saying like, oh no, the coppers are coming round. It's like, yeah, I don't want that in the club. Yeah. I don't want that while I'm dancing or drinking.
It's almost like now and again you're like, we'll be right back right after these like special broadcasts. Like he's like going to do an advert break or something.
It's like, who wants that in their club, right? This club also seems to be where the seedy underbelly of Steel Harbor stay around, because there's loads of just randomly bizarre, quirky underground dealings and characters, people doing cocaine, people buying shit, like loads of shit like that, yeah?
But they're not allowed to take their guns in.
They're not allowed to take their guns in. There's a cloakroom for guns, which I find quite funny.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine, if you lost your ticket, yeah. Right? Imagine you lost your ticket and it's like, I'm here to pick up my shotgun. Which one? It's like, what's your number, mate? Oh, I don't have that. Unfortunately, I can't give you back your shotgun unless you've got a ticket number. It's like, 39!
Dry martinis and a Cuban cigar.
You got it.
God damn. So many boobs. So many boobs. Oh my god.
Thing is, when I saw this, I must have been only like 12 or something stupid. So quite young.
To be honest, if you saw this at 12, this is ideal at the birth of puberty. Because all you see is boobs constantly, and I kind of love it.
I did want to watch it just because of Pamela Anderson.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did. Uno Kier, hello!
The legs of your ex-partner? You must be joking.
Naturally, she is such.
Miss Wire doesn't accept this kind
He's
of job.
The best.
Please.
What? My money is not good enough for her? I will make my offer in person.
Oh, if I were you, I wouldn't do that.
Why?
Miss Wire's private secretary, Camille here, doesn't have you in her apartment book.
But you can be very mean.
Yes!
You see?
Time for a couple of dedications. To Bobby from Carlene, the test came back, and everything is cool.
$30 for the cognac.
Add it to my tab, Miss Kapetsky. Boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh. Miss Kapetsky died in the war. I'm Barbara.
The thing is, I know, like, some people like sort of fake tits, but I think they just look too circular.
They do look like you just got two pair of, like, gigantic, like, you know, like, got baseballs and just attached it to your breasts.
Yeah, they're just, like, very, very, like, perfectly circular and massive. It just doesn't look natural, it's like...
Just give me my drink.
Sir, we're not open yet.
Oh, dear.
I think you've had enough already.
Ah, blow me.
Oh. Camille, package check.
Camille! Oh, no.
Oh, no, not in the gonads!
That's Camille. She works here.
Oh.
Sit.
Oh, you can see.
Now, you don't want to see her roll over, do you?
No.
Good.
No.
Camille, outside.
See, that is kind of awesome. Come on, like, that's actually kind of good. Camille, just dragging someone by the bollocks.
That was making me wince, though.
That did. Did you see how the dog's tongue was just there, just licking? That was off, so off.
But then, this is where we get introduced to other characters. We're introduced to Udo Kier, who's Curly, who is, I think, personally, like, subtly, my favourite actor in the movie, because he is actually full hog playing it fun, like serious fun. He's enjoying himself. At one point he's wearing a wig, really having a good time, like enjoying himself, almost being like almost uncomfortably close to Pamela Anderson. At one point it's like, I need you in the kitchen, and Pamela Anderson's just like, it's so almost like they're about to kiss, it's that close. Like, that weird sexual undercurrent tension between these two, which I fucking love, right? We also got the other patrons in the bar. We've got Charlie, who, looking back at it, is actually Pamela Anderson's brother in this. So it's Pamela Anderson's character's brother in the movie, who's blind, right? So he's blind, but he's also a mechanic and a whiz kid, right? But he's also a member of the resistance and da-da-da and everything else. And all he does is he just wants to drink whiskey.
Yeah.
Just wants to drink whiskey.
It's to the point where even when they're having the...
the raid of the club, he's still just hiding under the bar having a drink.
It's actually a really quirky little thing. Like, he's a constant alcoholic and he knows it. Mm. Like, he's not going to stop. And we also have the dog. What's the name of the dog again? Ah, oh, something like
Cecile or Cecilia or something. It begins with a C, I'm sure it does.
Oh, I can't remember. Can't remember for the life of me. But there is this. But she has a dog, right?
Rottweiler.
Yeah, a Rottweiler dog who is basically the bodyguard of the place.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome. Like, there's human bodyguards, but she's the main bodyguard. Like, she will come, right, and bite you in the balls and drag you out of the club.
So great.
It's a great sequence where a guy comes in once the bar is closed and says, "We're not open yet. Give me my goddamn drink." And then just the Rottweiler just grabs him by the nuts and slowly just drags him out of the way, saying, like, she will bite.
And you can hear the crunches, like,
oh. And the licking crunches, like, oh no, this is going to go bad, isn't it? But in the meantime, she decides to go for one more raid. She goes for one more little job to do in order to help pay the bills.
Yeah.
Right? And this one's a bit more interesting because she is now playing a prostitute. I think she's playing a prostitute on the street. And in the future, I love this, in the future, prostitutes have union cards.
Got a full medical.
I love it. I love it. In 2017, in this universe, prostitutes have a union.
Mm.
And you know what? Well done, progressive, I guess. You know, and so she's flashing around. She's waiting for this guy who's this absolute sleazeball, right?
I had to do a little moonlighting to keep my bar running. Not an easy life. A girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do. And in this world, you gotta use everything you got. Hey, handsome. Want some company?
You a cop?
See a badge?
My God. No woman ever would approach anyone like this properly.
Medical checked yesterday.
Oh. Oh, this place is a mess. And all the porno mags. Like, she was looking for something like this.
I have an idea. Why don't you go change into something a little more comfortable?
How about something a little less comfortable?
Oh, wow.
I can hardly wait.
This is where he comes out in a proper gimp suit. She's in half of one, clearly, with a corset. I don't know what that was, but that was cool. That was kind of cool. Yes! I was joking about the gimp suit.
I was big.
I'm so glad to hear that.
He's such a bad boy. He's been such
a...
He's been a bad boy. A weary bad boy.
Now close your eyes and turn around.
Oh, my God. He's just going to cream himself right there and then. Kaplunk!
Oops.
Pam must be playing with this somewhat. Yeah, like, she must know that she's not... that this is not a serious movie. Like, I hope so.
No, I don't think she did, but the thing is, she did... I don't think she...
has went, the range.
She went... she should have... knowing that, should have gone even... pushed it even further. Like, I don't think it's... I think it... but I don't know whether she's got the ability. She's not a great actress.
Are we saying she's just not that self-aware, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh! Because if she was that self-aware, then she could have totally played on the sex appeal more. Or would have played more on whatever this is. Or the hammy humour. But she, I think... she, oh, I don't know. What? Oh, nice. Oh! Oh, the flashes! It's so weird seeing, like, future tech, but with 1940s gangsters in a post-apocalypse.
I guess that's what the comic's like. I guess that's the kind of style they go
for. Style, isn't it? What? Oh, right in the fridge!
Because because that is quite a common thing, like, you know, the whole future noir thing.
Yeah, like Dark City, basically, yeah. Isn't it?
Blade Runner's a bit like that as well.
Yeah. What? Oh, yes. Pam, that table is made of wood. How have you not been shot yet?
That's just movie logic.
That is such a badass pose, even though it's so inappropriate to shoot anything in it. Oh. I love it. Come on. Yes! Oh, she's pinned! Oh, crotch punch! Way to go, Pam!
You're not going soft on me, are you?
Okay. He's not going soft.
Good. You're my last bail jumper, Cruz. Wake up, sunshine.
Please don't kill me. That was nice kicking. You really know your stuff, babe.
No.
What did you call me?
Uh-oh.
Don't call me babe.
Yeah. Whoa! Bloody hell, that's a lot of bullets. Oh. Don't call her babe. Fuck
it reminds
hell.
Me of, like, you know, like the whole, like, in Back to the Future, don't call, what did you call me, chicken?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that, isn't it?
It's exactly like that.
Because she gets, like, they could say anything else to her, anything else, any words.
I mean, look, Mel Gibson could walk into this movie and call her sugar tits and wouldn't be offended, right? But call her babe? Fuck you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Finds him, and then, you know, she goes through a really kind of decent gunfight, but it looks really awkward because you can see that Pamela Anderson feels awkward in the poses she's in trying to shoot. Like, in there a bit where she's literally, like, leg out, knee down, bent over slightly, and, like, with arms like this, crossed like that, trying to shoot through a wall.
Yeah. There's one bit where it looks amazing, though, the pose, where she's behind a table, isn't she?
Yes.
And she kind of pops out with both guns.
That looks awesome.
And that looked like a proper, like a publicity kind of shot, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's badass. I mean, she's really, she was all in on it. And it's also bizarre because she seems to be hiding from magical furniture because she's hiding from a wooden table, but it gets covered and riddled in bullets and she is not a single scratch on her.
That's like a movie stupid logic thing, though, isn't it? That
I love it.
In lots of action movies, like, you just, let's just get this, like, polystyrene sheet to, like, hide behind.
I kind of love it, right? Meanwhile, we're in Washington, D.C., and you can tell it's Washington, D.C. because I believe it is the Abraham Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
It's completely destroyed.
Well, like, the main sort of tower is kind of, like, broken, isn't it?
Completely and utterly destroyed, right? Amazingly destroyed, right? And in here, we're now put into this random-ass laboratory with Nazis, basically. And with a woman who is in a bikini, but looks like a bikini out of Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Oh, that is a weird, uncomfortable scene. It's kind of like, it almost looks like it's a torture
porn device. It's like a toy. It's like, because it's on, the metal plate thing is on her, like, groin.
Yes.
And on her boobs.
Yes.
And she's got something on her face as well, like that. And, it's really, and she's weird. Making sex noises, so it's almost like it's pleasure, but it might kill her at the same time.
Yeah, and apparently, this is supposed to be a mind reader.
Why is it, like, so sexualized?
I know! Why is it a bikini, for one? And there's a reason for this, I believe. An original draft of script revealed the woman in torture room had the last name Hannigan, and she was actually suspended by restraints in midair with electrodes all over her body, including her forehead, arms, shoulders, abdomen and legs. The sequence was changed to have electrodes inside a bikini device the woman wears through the mind reading device used to show memories of the woman's mind from the original drafts remaining in the film, basically to add more sex appeal.
It's so weird.
Why would we want a torture sequence to be sexy is beyond me.
No, that's why it seems like a sex torture device.
It does, because she's being electrocuted going, ugh! I don't know what that was, I'm sorry. But it was awful. But then it leads on to now we're finally getting the main plot of the movie, which is now very much Casablanca. Because then we've got Axel Hood, right, who is the resistance fighter, who is bringing a woman in, who is supposed to be this doctor, who also seems to have this technology that can help the resistance fight back, right? She's got, like, this way, just evidence and this all this stuff to actually help her fight back when she, if she is escapes to Canada, to the free land, can go and stop... can actually stop fully the American Civil War, right? Which is very much like the role in Casablanca, you know, very much. But, you know, here's a guy who can help the resistance, blah, 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 and everything else. Humphrey Bogart needs to save him, blah, blah, blah. You're starting to see a pattern here. It's a bit weird. It's a gender swap Casablanca with leather. Fuck. They now inform that, you know, Axel Hood and the female doctor is now making their way to Steel Harbor to find refuge until they can get to Canada. So this is now, the Nazis now are aware of it and says, right, let's go, right? So the evil American Nazis, bit on the nose, isn't it? Are now heading over to Steel Harbor to try and stop things, okay? Yeah. And then the movie pretty much semi-plays from this point onwards like Casablanca, almost to its detriment.
Listen, carefully. If Cordy escapes, I will personally rip your heart out of your ass and stuff it back down your throat.
That's an image.
How does that work? You've got to go really up there in order to pull out someone's heart out of someone's ass.
Baby, you tell me it's late, but I'm here to tell you, it only feels that way. So sit back and enjoy someone.
I love it. In 2017, people are still using CDs, according to this place. We moved on. We've gone back to vinyl, and we're on MP3s now.
Well, most of like streamed now is now so.
Spotify. So in this, so I love how movies like this they always do like a very near future, and it's so wrong. So wrong. I love it.
Well, there's a lot of like current tech in future stuff, isn't there? Like, because like CDs would have been quite sort of like in then.
CDs were the thing, so you feel like, oh, this is the future.
Because it's like in like Alien. Like, they're all still, like, listen to music on cassette and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's still, for a future, it's gone analog still, isn't it?
And all the computers are, like, black screen with green text and stuff.
Exactly. Ahmed. Oh, hello! Like, we don't need to see underneath the bubble bath, but we just had to tease it just so we know that we saw some booty! I kind of want this bubble bath right now. Look at it, look at that, look at it. Look at the amount of bubbles she's having!
You know, like, in movies,
yeah,
they always have so much bubbles, I could never get that amount of bubbles.
I could never get that amount of bubbles in my bathtub. Ever. I mean, what bubbles do they use?
I'm unarmed.
How'd you get in here? Where's my dog?
Hey, I'm irresistible to females.
Thanks, Camille.
Wow, Camille. Way!
Towel.
Oh my God, she's just wearing nothing but bubbles.
What are you gonna shoot me?
She had like a bubble bra.
She had a total bubble bra.
I told you never to come back.
I came here to do a job. The biggest operation I ever signed up for. And I came ready for anything the Congressionals could lob at me. The only thing I wasn't prepared for was running into you.
You'll get over it. I did.
Oh, that's spiteful.
Where are the contact lenses?
If I knew, you think I'd tell you?
Look, we know that Schmitz was here last night. Now, if you know where the lenses are, for Christ's sake, will you just name a price? That's what you do, isn't it? Sell yourself to the highest bidder?
I'm out of your price range.
Oh, the levels of sass are growing. I'm kind of loving it. Oh, no. The invasion of the Hammerhead begins. Well, put on a dress, love. Put on a dress.
Is there another way out of here?
Are you kidding? They'll have everything covered.
She's not going to battle in a towel, is she?
Oh, I hope she does.
Give me 3 minutes and meet me downstairs.
Why should we trust you?
Maybe you shouldn't.
Boom! I'm so sorry! Oh, that was literally just came out of nowhere. She just showed up.
That was just a flash, just for the sake of it. Here's a boob.
Here's a boob and a butt. I love it.
You morons.
Now, the Doctor is got all this information. It's got all this sort of info about how it would save the Resistance. But the only thing they need is to have these particular set of lenses.
Yeah.
There's a particular set of lenses that allows you to hide your identity. Because in this future, you are scanned retinally. Right,
they've got this massive, clunky device, haven't they, to put on people's faces.
They're hilarious. They're like full masks.
Yeah.
And just to scan your eyes, right, and by using the retina scan means can hide, can go through security, because she says, and I quote, "I've had plastic surgery already." So the only thing missing are these lenses, right,
yeah.
Which apparently it's based in Steel Harbor somewhere. So they're asking for Pam to get her onto a plane with the lenses to take them over to Canada to safe refuge, and then exploit and give out all the information about this bioweapon and everything else, which is, you know, just it's no one cares.
No.
Like, no one cares. And that's the thing, like, the rest of the plot is very nonchalant by this point. Everything else is just sort of them trying to find the Resistance and everything else. We just remember key scenes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, this movie, you often distracted by the sexual stuff and the action and things like that, and you're not really concentrating on what's going on.
Yeah,
right, a lot of the time.
Very true.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what's going on half the time for the movie, but you don't care because you can kind of suss it out.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene after which I kind of liked where we get the Vietnam flashback. It's, I love it because she's passed out on the sofa drunk. It's like, it's like you're drinking your sorrows away. But I love how when she's drinking, this is a really cool shot, actually, where the glass is full of ice and she pours in a wild turkey. And as the ice crackles, it turns into the sounds of explosions and then cuts to a war sequence with her in fatigues.
It's a good transition. Yeah.
It's good. I think the movie has a lot of cool transitions because you have this director who happens to be a former, music video director.
Yeah.
So this is when we get introduced to Germans. Well, I say the Germans, they're not really the Germans, they are the American Nazis who come in and start scanning everybody and everything else and start putting their position in check. And they actually reenact to a point the very famous scene from Casablanca. We have the police chief, the general of the Nazis, and Humphrey Bogart, but with Pamela Anderson, an American neo-Nazi, and an American copper who's literally a sleazebag.
he seems like he's a sleazy guy, but then he also he helps them, and he's kind of one of the good guys, and it's a bit of a mixed character. You can't tell what's going to happen.
But there's the thing: it's exactly the same kind of character as in the one in Casablanca.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is basically he has to do his job. Mm. But he really likes Humphrey Bogart, so sometimes he'll flip flop, knowing his own moral compass.
Yeah,
right. Same with this, but it's weird that it's in a post apocalyptic universe with Pamela Anderson in a leather outfit.
What's the book?
He's expecting me.
Let her go.
Whoa! Now the apocalypse has really kicked in.
It's like going on Mad Max out here.
That's the thing, we're surrounded by Nazis and 1940s gangsters, and now it's Mad Max.
A lot going on.
There's a lot to absorb here. Who is this motherfucker?
Big Fatso.
Big Fatso!
Well. It isn't Barb the Butso.
I have a proposition.
Oh, now, ain't that sweet? But you know I only like big, fat women.
Uh-huh.
Can't believe he's in a digger.
He's so fat that he lives in a digger. I kind of love him.
Oh, now, don't give me that surprised look. Like you don't know what I'm talking about. You didn't drive all the way to the heart of the evil empire to see how my diet's going.
We're introduced to my second favourite character in the movie, where they go to this junkyard.
Yeah.
And we're introduced to Big Fatso.
Who's in a digger.
In a fucking digger.
As a seat, like a throne, it is a digger.
Yes, I love it. He is the leader of the junkyard gang, who is basically like a forerunner for the black market and a way of escaping out of like the free world and stuff like that, yeah? Mm. And so he's trying to make this deal. But I love it. He's eating. I love it. He's so fat, he has to be in a digger. He's eating chicken. And I love how for Pam as a starting bribe says like, here's something, it's a little treat. Throw some donuts at him.
Yeah. In a greasy bag.
I love it. Ooh, donuts. I love it. He's so acting hammy at this point. And he's surrounded by TVs and guns and everything else. It's such an awesome image. It's a shame he's only introduced at this point and never before or anything like that. And, you know, he says, like, oh, fine, you know, but, you know, and he's eating, like, you know, I need some more compensation, you know, it's dangerous out there and stuff like that. It's so dangerous out there. Nom, nom, nom. While eating a chicken wing. It's hard to explain.
You went into Sean Connery
again. Oh, I've gone to Shawnee again, haven't I? So he goes back, so we've got everything arranged. And so, like, we've got everything arranged. So it gives Curly... Udo Kier, you now own the bar now. You own it. Because where I'm going, I won't need us anymore, right? So Udo Kier is accepting as, oh, no, you know, keep an eye on the dog, blah, blah. And says, where's Charlie? And says, oh, Charlie has gone to see Spike, who is the lead, one of the leaders of the resistance.
Yeah.
Right? Who is this girl, this punk girl with, like, a choker. But the choker has a microphone in it that distorts her voice.
Mm.
A very odd choice.
It's almost like what you know when you've got like you've kind of got throat cancer.
Yes,
like you've got your voice thing to like use your vocal cords that you know you can't use them anymore.
It sounds like that, yeah. But it's an odd reason why she would need it because she doesn't need it.
Yeah,
right. So he, the blind guy, decides to walk or go to the mechanical place where the resistance is, only to slowly figure out that it's been a plan, it's a jib, it's a job all along.
Mm.
Right? Because the American Nazis have taken over the place and kills her in, like, this really nasty sort of choking, like, element, right? Like she's just dangling from, like, a hook and, like, choked to death.
Yeah.
With her own choker, which I find, again, really gruesome sequence. Kind of cool.
Mm.
Bit limp, but kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
What is that musical tone? Da, 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 da. What is that?
It's like a synth stab, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was just so ridiculous. So many dead bodies.
Oh, my God.
Is Pam showing another emotion?
Mm.
Is she?
We heard the Congressionals discovered.
Is she fucking crying? Is that it? Wow.
Now you were too late.
Listen to me, Bob. We need your help. There's no more time. That plane leaves in 90 minutes. You're the only one who could help us now. Please.
Let's go.
Yeah! She is pissed!
Thing is, when she was upset, she was kind of like this a lot of the time. She just kind of go like that.
Yeah.
And then her hair was covering her face most of the time.
Her hair, but out of all, even for all that though, her hair is immaculate. She is.
The lenses. They're safe.
She's got like that beach look hair. All, you know.
Always.
They'll
be able to get on their plane without the contact lenses. Let's have them.
I said they're safe. Are you coming or not?
Yeah. Flamethrower! I just saw flamethrower on the screen. I'm like, oh, God, that's going to be awesome.
Have you ever tried to drive out of Steel Harbor?
No.
Then shut up.
So now that Pam knows that her brother's missing, it's like, fuck this. I need to sort this out. Fuck it. Where is Charlie? So she gets into a killer ass like van. She gets into the van, which in the back of it has a motorcycle in it, which is kind of awesome as well, which I love. And Udo Kier comes and finds just literally a slaughterhouse of all of these resistance goons left by the Nazis.
Yeah.
And then finds Charlie crucified. And then this is the first time, I think this is the first time actually, we discover that Pamela Anderson has an emotion other than just a flat tone. Do you want to explain this part?
I kind of mentioned it earlier in terms of like her emotions kind of hidden sometimes by her hair.
Mm.
Because she's like, when she is sobbing, she's kind of like crouched over and her hair's all over her face and you can kind of hear that she's sobbing a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, you can't really see the emotion because it's hidden.
It's hidden, like, underneath all this amazingly well-crimmed hair, right? Because she looks amazing in every shot.
Mm.
Even when she's crying, she looks amazing. Even though her makeup's running, she still looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, pristine. And so she shyly cries for her brother.
Mm.
And so Axel and the doctor, you know, see this and say, like, right. And so, like, it's like, and so, like, you have to get us to the airport. You have to get us to the airport. Bob's like, I can't. And it's like, if not for me, do it for your brother. And it's like, okay, fuck it, fine. So you now got Udo Kier, Pamela Anderson, and the resistance fighters all in a truck ready to go to fight off against the Nazis.
Chief Willis, arrest these people.
I want you to know I had nothing to do with what happened to Charlie. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, Pam's kind of liking it. Oh, he's in a sneaky
grenade.
Yeah!
Don't move!
Look out, she's got a grenade!
Oh, no, she's got a grenade!
His face was amazing.
Gobsmacked is not the word. Oh. What a way for Big Fatso to go. Well done.
Blown to bits in his digger.
That is kind of a way to go. I'm impressed. Yes! Rocket launchers! Yeah! Okay, well done. And a car flip, because that's how you do it! More explosions! They're just putting all the explosions in at this moment in time. I'm impressed. And drops off to Big Fatso. Mm. And it looks like Pam has double-crossed him.
Yeah.
So she can get the money and escape anyway.
Mm.
But no. It's a double cross. The double cross suddenly became another double cross where Big Fatso goes, oh, wait, I brought my friends and all the American neo-Nazis arrive.
Yeah, because you can't trust Fatso, can you?
You can't trust the Big Fatso. Wow, that's a bit sizist. It's like, oh, no, he's a bit fat.
I don't mean any Fatso, I just mean this Fatso.
This Fatso. Go cross this Fatso, right? But then you can see, and this is where there's another double cross where the chief of police, as they're handcuffing everybody, right, gives Pamela Anderson a fucking grenade.
Mm.
And this is where I think the action sequences really kick up. And oh my God, it's amazing.
Oh, the dial gets turned up quite a bit, doesn't it?
Totally. It starts with the first explosion where she literally grabs the grenade, pulls the pin out, and says, I've got a grenade, and just throws it up in the air, and everyone squabbles like, oh no, it's gonna land. Where's it land?
On Fatso.
It lands on Fatso,
and he does the best expression, like really wide eyes.
Yes, while still eating a chicken wing at this point. It's like, and then she explodes into a million pieces.
It's amazing.
It's an amazing opening shot. And then everyone's just driving away and escaping this decent car chase, you know, and then she gets out of the motorcycle and starts like shooting everything as it goes. It's really, really cool, badass sequence, which when she's shooting everything, there's so many goddamn fucking explosions.
Mm.
I love it.
It's such an exciting sequence.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good because the explosions are ridiculous. They're all over the shop. Everything explodes. Slow motion. Push.
Every shot is like a Dutch tilt angle. It's all like skew if, isn't it? Apart from that one.
Apart from that one. I love that. That's the only one that wasn't it. Everything else is slightly at an angle. Oh my God. Come on. I'm kind of now invested. I want to see what happens. Yes! So many
explosions. That was like computer game, like, you know, shoot the barrels to get an explosion.
I'm so happy. Yes. Like, you know what? Good on you for putting all the explosion at the end of the movie. I want a climax like that. Oh, wait a minute. Phrasing.
Where are you, bastard?
Oh, that's insane.
Crazy Nazi-like guy.
Of course he is. Look at him. On a fucking forklift. He's like a maniac. This is quite intense right
now. Come on, Pammy.
My
favorite song. I got you, babe!
Don't call me babe.
Yes! That was clearly a dummy! Explosion!
That was amazing!
That was brilliant! One you could clearly see was a doll, but that explosion was beautiful! Mwah! Thank you, barbed wire! And then the leader of the American Nazis coming in a fucking forklift.
Yeah.
And, oh, explain this, because this is amazing, right? So you got the forklift.
Mm.
What's the expression on his face is priceless.
Because
he's laughing like a maniac.
Yeah, he goes into it, because up to this point, he's kind of been playing a bit sort of serious, hasn't he? Kind
reserved.
Like, yeah, and like, this point, he just goes, like, into a maniac, and he's just laughing constantly, and going,
ah! Literally, all he does is laugh for, like, 5 minutes of the sequence.
It's almost like he's sort of, like, unleashed his natural kind of animal at that point.
I'm finally unleashed.
Yeah.
I'm evil now. He's playing full evil now. He's gone full ham, right? And so he gets the forklift, pins the forklift to Pamela Anderson's motorcycle, so her big sexy stiletto boots get stuck,
yeah,
right, in the thing, right? And then gets crashed into a car, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm going to crush you," basically. So his idea is, "I'm just going to crush you," but he's not really doing a good job because he's basically just spinning around in a circle.
Yeah.
While this is happening, Axel, on the other hand, is on a forklift. It's on a really onto a gigantic crane, like massive fuck off crane. And I love this bit because he goes in, the guy's on a crane, which I find really random. Why is this guy who's in charge of this crane not seeing that there's so much commotion in this construction site?
I know. And he just sort of, he just quickly has a little tutorial of how to use the crane.
Yes.
And then when he knows how, he knocks out the guy.
Yeah, it's like saying, what's this one? Bam, elbow. And so he gets on the crane, and this is where it gets perplexed but amazing, right? Mm. So Pamela Anderson's trying to get out of the forklift. The guy's laughing like a maniac, is about to shoot her, right? But then the Axel gets the crane, attaches the crane to the forklift, and starts lifting it off the ground.
Yeah.
And over the sea, and it is the most ridiculous. What a way to end a fight. So now Pam Ranson finally gets out. They start kicking and punching each other and everything else. Fucking amazing.
This is the kind of last fight you want in an action movie, isn't it? Like on a bloody forklift and car that's raised. And
on a crane.
Yeah.
It is so over the top. I fucking love it. Right?
Yeah.
It is the fucking best. And then the guy says the weirdest line. And it's like, she's like, "You can't escape now. You can't escape now at all. This is just like my favourite song." And it's like, "I got you, babe."
Yeah. So awful. And just before that line, you get the crash zooms of her and then of him.
It's like, whoop, whoop. And then she says, "Don't call me babe." Drops the forklift from the crane. And there's a shot where you see the Nazi guys hanging on the roof of the car. But it looks really fake. And then it cuts to a shot where it's clearly a dummy.
Mm.
And it cuts back to it and then lands. And then everything explodes on impact.
It's so great.
I fucking love it. It was, what a way to end it, right? And then the movie then continues on with the ending where, you know, they finally escape, you know, they exchange. She was wearing the contact lenses all along. She was never going to give it to Big Fatso.
Yeah.
She just wanted to get extra cash because she has this credit card now for Big Fatso, which is $750,000 Canadian dollars.
Mm.
So she can now relax for a while, right? And so she finally does the escape. The Doctor goes on the plane with Axel. It does the same ending, just like in Casablanca, where it says, like, "We'll always have Paris. You know, we'll always have this exchange. Like, we had what we had, but now we can't have it anymore. You go off to your life, I have mine."
It's funny, though, you know, when she's got the contact lenses on.
Yeah.
Sticks out like a sore thumb, because, like, in terms of how she looked before.
Yeah.
Bright blue, piercing eyes.
It's just like artificially blue.
Yeah.
And you think, like, wait a minute, that's a bit unrealistic. When she gets her eyes scanned and everything else. But no, fine. She goes and she escapes. What's left? You've got her and the copper about to walk off into the sunset, but not really the sunset. It's pouring down with rain, because of course it is. Ends with a shot of Pamela Anderson turning around and saying, "I've got all the time in the world." And she's holding a massive fuck-off gun in a leather outfit, big boots in the rain, boobs out. Well done. Cuts to credits.
And it's like sort of hard rock, like, kicks in on the credit sequence.
And it jumps with all these weird jump cuts, isn't it, at the end?
Yeah, it's like,
it's like all the bullet holes and everything else. And it just ends on this highly campy, cheesy spot.
Mm.
Fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Where will you go?
Well, I hear Paris is nice this time of year.
I do believe I'm falling in love.
Get in line.
So, that was Barbed Wire. I've been wanting to watch this movie again for a long time. I saw it 10 years ago. I thought it was just immense, right? It's still whole held up because I have this memory of Pamela Anderson and just the schlock of it. And it's so 90s. It's so awesome. Now, I had a whale of a time.
Yeah. Especially great with a couple of ciders.
With a couple of ciders, even more so.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I thought I was going to dislike it. Like, I thought, like, well, I liked it as a kid just because of Pamela Anderson and it was, like, sexy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, as an adult, I'm probably going to think, oh, this is dreadful. Mm. But I still just find it really enjoyable.
And it's enjoyable in a more tongue-in-cheek way than it ever was before. Yeah. And I think this movie is something that you could look back again and enjoy it.
Yeah, because I don't think the accidental comedy and everything like that, that would have gone over my head as a kid.
Yeah.
But now I find that it's added an extra element of fun to it.
Definitely. Mm. I think it's one that's aged better than when it came out of the time.
Yeah.
I think when it came out of the time, it wasn't good. Because, you know, this is what the thing like with most bad movies. Good bad movies take time to fester.
Yeah.
It's a horrible word to say, but it's true. It needs time to mould and fester to become this new thing. And I think Barbed Wire totally fits the bill. Mm. Pamela Anderson looked amazing. She acted like shit, but who cares? Everything was so 90s and amped up and ridiculous. And it was just on the nose, mwah, a perfect trashy movie night.
Definitely.
Right. So, next time round, we're going to have a little bit of a different change this time round. I'm going to tease it, okay? Because we're going to do a superhero movie.
Mm.
And we're also going to bring a guest.
Okay.
This is going to be our very first time we're going to have a guest on the podcast. Mm. So I can't flip and wait. We're going to see how this turns out. It could be a dumpster fire, but who knows? Right? On that high note, keep an eye on your trash. There might be some treasure in there.
See you later, guys.
Trash Tapes is a podcast created by Enigmatic Productions. It is hosted and created by Johan Chapur and co-starring Edward Harvey. If you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast. We are on Spotify, iTunes, Acast, and Buzzsprout. You can also find more information about us on our social media sites. We have Instagram, which is under Enigmatic Productions. We have a Facebook page called under Studio Enigmatic, and we have a Twitter under Enigmatic_UK. For more information on the other kind of products and projects that we're up to, check out our website at www.enigmaticproductions.co.uk.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it around with movie lovers you know, maybe add a star rating or write a good review. All of this helps with the algorithm and provides us with more opportunities to reach the ears to a whole new bunch of bad film fanatics. Want to find out more about us? Then head over to our socials where we provide sneak peeks and up-to-date news on everything nostalgic and trashy. You can find our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages in the description. So please, follow us. See you next time, cinephiles.